Stars form an arc above a mountain peak. Paramount Plus Original. Above a desert, the stars in a night sky blur as they shift and form letters. Ace. A photo of a young Asian woman sits on the front of a photo album.
My name is Ever Wong. And this is Chagrin Falls, Ohio. Maybe the most uneventful suburb to exist. My parents immigrated here from Taiwan 22 years ago. This is them. Cute, right? 21 years ago, they had me. Wait, hold on. That's better. I don't think they made it out of that hospital before planning every single moment of my existence. The center of their world. I don't really like being the center of anything, though. Maybe because when you look like this in a town that looks like this, attention seems to find you. But all this planning was for one purpose. Ever Wong, MD. Now that I'm heading to med school, I thought I'd finally have a break. But instead, my parents decided to send me to summer school. In Taiwan.
Feel like I just woke up.
In Taiwan, the sun rises over a dense city. Text, Ace Entertainment presents. Dark blue roofs top a row of curved arches in front of a courtyard between two buildings. Cars move down overlapping highways. A title appears, Love in Taipei. The young woman, Ever, sits by a window on a bus. She wears earbuds and gazes outside. The city reflects against the bus window. She looks down at an orange brochure.
The school is called the Taiwan Study Tour in Huwei, an intensive 8-week program filled with immersive language and history classes.
Taipei will be your home for the next 8 weeks.
A video message.
I'm not sure if you're still on the plane, but this place sucks without you. And promise me you'll find time to rehearse.
Ever puts her phone down. She opens a notebook.
Hi.
A long-haired Asian woman.
Hi. Counselor Mei Hua asked me to introduce myself to you because you're by yourself and not talking to anyone.
Okay. I'm Ever.
I'm Sophie Ha, like, haha.
Ever shakes her hand.
What's that?
It's nothing.
Do you go to college?
Yes.
What are you studying?
I'm
at Dartmouth for computer science. It wasn't my top choice, but you know, an Ivy is an Ivy, right?
So, where are you from?
See, I'm from New York City. Actually, I grew up in New Jersey, went to high school there after my parents divorced, which, I know, makes me tragically less interesting, so I just tell everyone I'm from New York City. So are you excited for the summer? See any guys you like? Do you not like to talk?
I'm at a 4-year pre-med program in Chagrin Falls, Ohio. And, I don't really know if excited is the right word. I haven't really...
The long-haired woman, Sophie, sits next to her.
You're not excited to be here? This is obviously your first time coming to Huwei.
Yeah, where I grew up, I only knew, like, 3 other Asian kids. My parents wanted me to come so I could see.
Ever gapes.
Oh, my God. Boy Wonder.
Okay, that's it. Boy Wonder? Are you, like, one of those manga geeks?
No.
It's not my thing.
No, that guy sitting over there, that's Rick Wu.
Uh-huh.
Like, the Rick Wu. He's been on the cover of the World Journal at least 10 times. I have read every article about him. He's a piano prodigy. You know, he also won the National Spelling Bee at age 9.
Wow, this boy's the real deal.
Sounds like someone has a crush.
Ebba!
No. Ebba. My mom...
There's another feature on Rick Wu in the World Journal.
...has been obsessed with him since, like, forever.
Looks like he's studying at Yale. Economics. Oh, and he's the star of a football team.
Mm-hmm.
And so handsome.
He's her ideal child, and she is constantly comparing me to him. You know, if anything, Rick Wu is the bane of my existence.
In a flashback, Ever watches a magazine cover of a handsome Asian boy, Rick, winking. Now.
He's my cousin.
Ever stares.
You're messing with me.
No, we are very much related.
Ever shifts her gaze away as she gapes. Sophie smiles. Ever looks to the back of the bus where Rick grins with others. Letters on the side of a structure leading to a huge building, Huwei, read Fab. Buses pull up to a curved drop-off area.
If this trip was attracting Boy Wonder level talent, this program was gonna be a lot.
A young Asian man in sunglasses adjusts the collar of his denim jacket as he leaves the bus. A dark-haired Asian man sprays something into his mouth. A door on the side of the bus opens to reveal luggage. Other students grab their luggage around Ever. They leave, and Ever reaches for her suitcase. She falls back as she pulls hard. Rick catches her by the shoulders before she hits the ground.
You okay?
Ever stares up at him.
Come on.
He helps her to her feet.
Yeah.
The bag was stuck.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, no, I got it. But really, it's okay.
Don't worry about it. I gotcha.
He gets her suitcase.
Rick, this is Ever. She's a big fan.
What? No, I am not.
She calls you Wonder Boy and talks about you all the time with her mom. Hey, you should ask Ever out. I mean, you're single, and she struggles with social skills and making friends and stuff like that. It's perfect.
I'm not actually.
He used to date this girl, Jenna. She's a model. But, of course, you would probably know that being an obsessed super fan. You know, Ever is pre-med. So that's at least something.
Sophie gives Ever a look, then walks off. Later, a slim Asian woman strides over to the students. Subtitles. Slim woman. Welcome to Huey, the cultural and education immersion program that will put you all on the proper path to success.
The dragon is still here.
Mm-hmm.
The what?
The headmistress of Huey.
Head misery of Huey. I thought she was going to retire last year.
Slim woman, the dragon. As you enter, head straight to registration for elective selection and room assignments.
What is she saying?
She just wants us to check in for registration.
I don't understand. If you two already speak Mandarin, why did your parents make you come?
No one made us.
Why would someone choose to spend their summer taking classes?
I mean, it's Lovebo.
Lovebo.
Inside, Ever walks with Sophie behind a group of students. Ever peers around.
I'm already lost. Why does everyone look so...
People record an Asian man in shorteralls dancing. A couple makes out.
This isn't the 90s ever. Everyone knows Asians are cool now. And this isn't summer school. This is Love Boat.
See, you keep saying that, but I don't know what it means.
Follow me. Parents send their kids here because they think it's a cultural program, but we're all here because we know what it really is. One big party.
It is Mr. Yale Superstar.
All right, Stanford.
Hey, what up? I'm David.
Ever.
Hi.
Sophie, right? It's me, Spencer. We met in Forensics Nationals.
Oh, hey!
Hey, Rick. We're going to sign up for the Bo staff. You in?
Hell yeah, 100%. Let's do it. Catch you later, Ever.
Bye.
Rick. Okay. Boy Wonder wasn't the intense hyper genius I expected. In fact, none of this was.
I'm Sophie Ha, like haha. And this is Ever Wong, like Wong.
Okay. Sophie and Ever. And you two want a room together?
That could be fun.
Sophie and Ever walk down a carpeted hallway with their luggage. Ever holds an armful of books.
This isn't summer school. Why would they give us so many books?
You won't need them.
A Huey counselor chases an Asian girl in a yellow dress. In slow motion, a young Asian man with longish dark hair pulls on a white t-shirt. He looks back at Sophie and Ever as he runs after the others. Sophie and Ever watch him go.
Okay, I think I know why they call it Love Boat.
In their room, Sophie and Ever open their suitcases. Sophie tosses clothes out onto her bed. Ever takes out a wrapped package. A note on it reads, "We already miss you, Mom and Dad," with a neutral face emoji. Ever opens the package to reveal a hinged photo frame. Inside, a photo of her parents sits on one side and a photo of her kissing a dog sits on the other. A note reads, "So you don't forget us. Make us proud. Love you. Smiley face." In a flashback.
Surprise!
Ever's dad sets down a cake that reads Taipei in Mandarin and English.
What is it? You are going to Taipei.
Taipei, like Taiwan?
You leave Saturday.
Wait, like this Saturday?
We see how hard you've been studying and preparing for your medical school. We want to give you something special as a reward.
Sometimes we put too much pressure on you to follow in your father's footsteps. We know that, so...
You have your whole life to work. But now you're just 21 years old, and we think you deserve to have some fun.
Which is why we're sending you to Huey. Think about it, it's going to be the perfect summer. 8 weeks of Mandarin, calligraphy, and Chinese medicine. Oh, and it's a highly competitive program to get into.
Learning the language will look great on your resume.
A photo of Rick in the brochure.
I think you're going to love it here.
The two students next to him nod. Sophie touches Ever's shoulders.
Don't worry. I'm going to make sure you get the full Love Boat experience.
In the present, Sophie wears a mini dress.
Now be honest, what do you think of this dress?
It looks great.
I know.
Sophie walks over to a desk next to a couch.
So why'd you fly halfway around the world if you don't even want to be here?
It was my parents' idea.
I get that. Everyone comes here because of their parents. At least the first time.
I mean, it's not like I don't want to be here. It's just I was really hoping that I'd get into this dance company.
Fun? I love to dance. A group of us are going to hit up the clubs later tonight. You want to come?
Oh, that's all right. I think I'm just going to take it easy tonight.
Suit yourself.
But maybe another night?
Oh, don't worry. There'll be plenty of other nights. Don't wait up!
Later, Ever turns on a lamp. A photo of a woman in a jumping split hangs on a corkboard.
The only place I've ever been able to shut off all the pressures of med school and just be myself is dance. When I'm moving, it's like all the expectations melt away. I got offered an audition for a dance company in New York this summer.
She looks up from a pair of ballet slippers.
It's a long shot, but if I get accepted, I'd finally have the guts to tell my parents I want to hold off on med school and pursue it. Except now, I'm stuck in Hue with nowhere to rehearse or record my audition.
On her phone, Ever presses on a playlist titled Ever Plus Megan. She puts in her earbuds.
Free your eyes of what you see.
On a balcony, Ever takes in the view of the city and Hue's grounds. She looks upwards, then goes back inside. At night, the lights in the Hue building glow in the darkness. Outside, Ever walks across manicured grass toward a group of modern art sculptures. A breeze blows against her long, dark hair as she steps onto the base of one of the structures. She turns, then runs over to a pink sculpture and jumps onto its base. She does an elegant turn on it. Ever stands with one leg bent and the other stretched to the side behind her. She extends her arms out, then goes into a series of ballet-like spins. The man with longish hair sits on the top of a nearby wall with a blue notebook in hand. He watches her dance.
It was good.
She stops and takes out her earbuds.
How long have you been up there?
Longer than you.
I didn't mean to scare you.
You didn't scare me. I didn't think that there was going to be someone, like, on the roof. Lurking in the shadows.
Neither did I.
I wasn't lurking. I was...
Twirling.
That's not what I was...
Don't be embarrassed. You're good.
In a pirouette kind of way.
You know what a pirouette is.
Of course. Don't you? I'm Xavier.
Ever.
Ever do what?
No, my name is Ever.
Forever, ever?
She nods. The man with longish hair, Xavier, jumps down to the ground.
So what are you doing here anyways? You filming a TikTok or something?
No.
You just like to dance on rooftops?
I was just clearing my head. Yes, I like to dance.
He pushes his hair back. He looks down and checks his phone.
Yeah, I gotta go, but, well, have a good night, forever, ever.
Xavier walks away. He stops and does a pirouette, then continues on. Ever smiles and glances down in her and Sophie's room. Ever takes off her shoes, then lies on her bed.
One day, you should have just smuggled yourself here in my suitcase.
I can't help it. I'm miserable without you.
All right, well, guess who's here? Boy Wonder.
The gorgeous guy from the newspaper she saved?
My mom saves them. You know, I bet she knew that he'd be here. Maybe this is her delusional attempt at setting us up.
Your mom is so extra. But also, he's hot. Are you gonna ask him
like
out?
Like I said, I have been here for one day, Megan.
Maybe this trip is your chance to let loose for a change. Live a little.
I mean...
There was also this boy I met up on the rooftop when I was dancing.
What? You're dancing with a boy on a rooftop? It must be that Spotify playlist I made you.
It was nothing, Megan. I was just practicing my audition.
I'm so glad you're still gonna film that. How long do you have?
I checked their website. I have 7 weeks.
Oh, that's good.
I just have to find a studio or someplace to practice my routine.
Taipei's a huge city. There's gotta be somewhere you could go.
Yeah. Maybe. Hold on, I'll call you later.
Keep me posted.
Ever presses on the contact information of an Auntie Shu on her phone. In the day, three groups of students practice a routine. One group uses bow staffs, another uses fans, and the third stands without props. In a classroom, the dragon walks with her arms crossed past a wall of hanging calligraphy. The dragon, I don't expect perfection, but I do expect your best effort. Some of you may think this is a vacation, but you should be using this time to prepare for grad school. Ever looks back to see Xavier sleeping. She turns back and knocks over her ink onto her calligraphy. In a cooking class, an Asian man in a beanie, David, holds out a dumpling.
Hey. Check this out.
Ever eyes him.
And don't forget, student with the best dishes will be featured at our end of summer festival.
What's the end of summer festival?
Pretty much what it sounds like. They do it on the grounds outside. Lots of parents come, the whole entire neighborhood really.
Yeah, there's music, dancing, showing off shit we made, and basically everything we learned this summer.
Dancing?
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Rick expertly folds the edges of a dumpling.
It's nothing, really.
Rick looks over at Ever standing alone. She holds up her dumpling. They share a warm look. She drops the dumpling. Rick puts a final, perfect dumpling in a neat row. Elsewhere, Ever crosses Mandarin and calligraphy off a to-do list. She skips fan dancing, then crosses out cooking class.
What are you always writing in there?
Oh, it's something that I do. Plan things, it keeps me accountable.
Well, maybe you should add have fun to the list.
Easy for you to say. You have things like ribbon dancing and fan throwing classes.
I'm signed up for all of the stupid stuff.
Which is why you need to have some fun. And I mean outside of class.
Oh my God, yeah, like going out clubbing and hanging with the locals.
Auntie Shu texts, exactly. Can't wait to see you tonight.
Okay, what outfits did you bring?
This?
Sophie eyes Ever's floral dress.
I guess I'm not really the going out type.
Come on, Ever. You're telling me you're not gonna party while you're here? Not even once? Never?
Never, ever?
Good one, good one.
Girl, you have to come.
Well, actually, I was going to meet up with someone.
Okay, well, that's a good start. But you're gonna come clubbing after, right?
Ooh, trying to come in hot.
The dragon. It has come to my attention that students were sneaking back onto grounds in the early hours of the morning. This is your reminder that there's a strict curfew that we uphold at Huwei. 10 p.m. Lights out. Xavier raises his hand.
What?
I will repeat in English so that I'm crystal clear. The curfew is 10 p.m. sharp, and that you are all to be in your rooms.
No.
I know, it's jealous.
You are here to learn and experience your cultural heritage, not to go around the city doing whatever you please. 10 p.m. Lights out.
This is such bullshit.
Yeah, literally.
Clubs don't even open till 10.
Exactly.
Ever's face falls as she sees another text from Auntie Shu. It reads, "Is 10 p.m. okay? I'm coming from an event."
So, a little bit about my mom's sister, Auntie Shu. She's the coolest, craziest, artiest woman I've ever known. She spent her entire youth traveling around the world, all so she could find herself. She's awesome. She's everything I wish I could be. But, unfortunately, everything I'm not.
In Ever's room. A text from Ever to Auntie Shu reads, "Sorry, 10 p.m. is too late." Auntie Shu responds, "Are you sure? In Taipei, that's when the night gets started." Sunglasses emoji.
Where are you going?
Out.
What? What about curfew?
Hey, Ever, remember that crazy fun night when you followed the rules?
No.
Exactly. Because no one ever remembers those nights. See ya.
Okay. Maybe Sophie and Auntie Shu had a point. Time to finally break some rules.
Wait. Let me come with you.
Ever gets up and puts on a zip-up sweatshirt over her t-shirt and leggings.
No, no.
Later, Sophie walks out of the room in a blue mini dress and heeled boots. Ever wears a pale leather jacket with a black top and black skinny jeans. Ever gazes at Sophie as she struts down the hallway. Two Huwei counselors, a thin Asian woman and an Asian man with a bun, flirt by a section of elevators. Sophie peers at them.
So they get to enjoy love, though, and we don't? What now?
They turn quickly. A group of Sophie and Rick's friends stand before them. Sophie smirks.
It's cool. We got another way out.
Outside, they walk to a balcony.
How are we supposed to get down there?
Yo, check it out.
The group turns to Rick. He points to taxi cabs.
Cabs. They knew we'd sneak out.
Taipei, coming in clutch.
They go out a door and down a staircase. An Asian man in a Letterman jacket leads the group. Ever and Rick walk at the back.
Surprised you're here. Sophie told me you weren't coming.
He grabs Ever and pulls her behind a pillar. Through a nearby window, the dragon eats with others.
You think they saw us?
I don't think so.
She looks down at her hands on his arm.
Sorry.
I wasn't complaining.
Ever gazes at him with her lips parted. They share a long look. She smiles.
What?
Gotta say, a week ago, I didn't think I was gonna be in Taiwan sneaking out with...
Wonder Boy? I think that's what you call me, right?
And actually, it's Boy Wonder.
I prefer Wonder Boy.
What are you guys doing?
Sorry, I didn't expect to see people lurking in the shadows.
Ever glances at the window, then back at Xavier.
It's all good.
Xavier dances smoothly in front of the window. The people inside don't notice. He stops and turns to Ever and Rick.
See?
Ever eyes Xavier, then glances at the window. She follows him. Rick waves his hands wildly at the window as he walks after her. The dragon.
Try this. It tastes good.
They join the others.
Yo, what's going on?
Security guard.
I can distract him.
Who the hell is this guy?
Xavier, who the hell are you?
Did you invite him?
Well, it looks like he's inviting himself. Hey, so where are we going?
I know a spot if you guys are down.
All right, man, you don't have to act like a hero.
Who's acting?
Xavier runs toward a light. Ever moves closer to watch as a security guard chases Xavier.
Hey.
Ever steps out from behind a hedge.
The counselors! He needs help.
Ever runs off.
Is that never ever?
Rick grins.
Hey.
Two Huwei counselors run after Ever. The rest of the group walks down a path. Xavier jogs over to them.
Always our hookup. He's my guy.
Hey, where's Ever?
I don't know.
Rick furrows his brow. Elsewhere, Ever sprints down a stone path along the side of the building with the counselors behind her. She comes to a stop in an empty courtyard and looks around. She turns to see the counselors near. A cab pulls up. Sophie opens the door.
Girl, why are you just standing there? Get in!
In the city, a road glows with gold light as cars move rapidly down it. In the cab, Ever stares out the window.
Okay, so I've got four spots lined up, including Xavier's. Excited, Ever?
Oh, sorry, I have to get dropped off somewhere first.
Oh, right, your mystery meetup.
Maybe I can catch up with you later?
Okay.
You sure you're good going alone? I mean, it's a new city and there's a lot of people.
I think I'll be all right. Thanks. Wow, the city is just...
incredible.
Yeah.
Check this out.
Rick plugs in his phone and plays a song. He looks at Ever in the back seat.
Okay.
Sophie grooves to the beat. Ever gazes out the window. A sign outside a building reads, Meng Jie. Ever tucks her phone away as she walks past the sign. She approaches a door, then reaches for a buzzer. Ever steps back. She looks upwards. The door opens slightly. Ever steps inside and closes it behind her. A white outline of leaves marks a color-blocked wall. She looks around as she walks up a set of stairs into a sitting room. Ever regards the creative space. Two paintings sit on easels. A dress with the back undone sits on a dress form. Five dolls with pearl-like heads stand in an arrow formation. A short-haired Asian woman, Auntie Shu, approaches. Auntie Shu, hey, I only have 1,000, so I hope you have change.
No, it's me, Auntie Shu. Ever? Your niece?
That doesn't make any sense. Why would my niece be delivering food?
I'm not.
You don't have my chili tofu?
No.
You go out and get some. Go! Go!
Oh. Okay. Yeah, I can.
Oh my God. I'm joking. You have your mom's terrible sense of humor. Come here!
She hugs Ever.
Hi! It's good to see you, kiddo! My goodness, what are you doing here? But really, I am starving. I hope it gets here soon. Do you like vegan food?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, go.
Auntie Shu pours Ever a mug of tea.
Oh, thanks. I love all of the, art. So, you run a gallery?
Sorta. It's like an artisan co-op. Bunch of local artists. I'll share this space as a workshop, gallery, retail store, whatever. It's all of ours. I just happen to own it.
Do you live here alone?
Yes. I never wanted to get married. That was your mom's thing. I wanted to travel, paint, own lots of cats. I don't have cats. None that are alive.
Auntie Shu points to a table of lucky cat figurines. Ever grins.
So, Ever, why are you here?
Right, yeah, I'm taking classes with the Youth Taiwan study tour.
Mm-hmm. Love boat.
Yeah. My parents thought it'd be a good idea for me to learn about some culture.
You can't learn culture in a classroom. Culture is like the music at a Goods Eye Opera. Getting lost in a back alley, somebody biting into a mooncake, two bodies touching on the dance floor. That, girlfriend, is culture. Don't get me wrong, I was delighted to get your call, but I didn't even know you were in Taipei.
I came here because I need to ask you a favor.
The lights in an art studio turn on.
It's not much, but there's room to move, and the lighting is good during the day.
Oh, she's beautiful.
I had fun painting her.
A painting of a woman in red.
I didn't know you were a dancer.
I got a call back. There's this dance company in New York. I may never get a chance like this again.
I'm guessing your parents don't know about this callback either.
My parents want me to become a doctor. Yeah. They would be heartbroken if I threw it all away just to dance.
Yeah, what about your heart?
Ever lowers her gaze.
Okay. Does the room work?
Totally.
Good. It'll be nice to see you around here. But in the meantime, get out, enjoy the city, and for God's sake, child, some culture.
Ever beams as Auntie Shu walks past her. Her eyes move around the studio. Outside, various lit signs shine along a city street as cars drive past in fast motion. People move rapidly through rows of stalls in a shopping center. A sign reads, Shillin Market. Ever wears her earbuds as she walks alone down a corridor. Her head moves quickly as she takes in her surroundings. She spots something and grins. In a market, Ever takes off her earbuds and puts them away. She goes up to an Asian woman with a ponytail at a food stall.
What is it?
Ponytail woman. Taro balls. Taro balls, okay? Taro balls.
All right, can I get one? One, please. Yes, one.
Rick, make it two. Keep the change. Ever turns as Rick moves to stand next to her.
Hey. Hi.
Taro balls, huh? Bold.
That's what those are. Oh.
Yeah. They're not too bad.
Rick, thanks.
Thank you.
What? Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Various people get food in the market. A shopkeeper hands an Asian man in a white shirt an orange plastic bag. A man chatters at a table. At a stall, a shopkeeper gives Ever a paper bag of food.
Thank you.
Ever and Rick try pieces of food on skewers.
That's good. Look at my nice one.
Look at that.
Look.
They stroll through the market.
This is amazing. Yeah, I have no idea what this is, but it's amazing.
Right.
So, why are you here? Why weren't you at the club?
You know, I may or may not have followed you. I know. I get it. Like, you would have been fine, but I just had to make sure you were safe.
Okay, so that's why you followed me?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then I should be thanking you. I'm having a great time.
His eyes linger on her as they walk. They get glazed skewers from another stall.
Ready?
They hold out their skewers to each other. They take a bite of each other's skewer.
Is that a tomato?
Mm-hmm. I forgot the foam. I promise you it is not as bad as it smells.
No,
just
don't
give
make
it
me.
A little bite. Just a little bite. A little bite. There you go. Yep.
He feeds her. She chews, then nods.
It's good. I like it.
Thank you.
Ever picks up a butterfly hair clip.
Oh, that's nice.
I like this one.
Rick, how much?
Senpai.
Wow.
How much is that?
It's like 10 bucks. Come on, I got it. Senpai.
Hey, Rick. What are you doing here?
I'm just grabbing a bite to eat.
Nice. We're gonna meet up with the others. Do you wanna come? Should be fun.
Rick turns to Ever.
Rain check.
Yeah, how about tomorrow at 6?
Okay, what, like a dinner?
No, like a date.
Okay. Okay.
In the morning at Hue, Ever lies in bed. A notification lights up her phone. She grabs it off a nightstand.
I can't say I thought this trip would lead to a date with Boy Wonder. But he was definitely different than I expected.
Ever looks at Sophie's empty bed. Someone slips a drawing under her door. It depicts a girl with long, dark hair writing in a book. Ever gets out of bed and walks over to the door. She spots the drawing and picks it up. A smile grows on her face as she regards it. She reaches for the door. Sophie lies asleep on the floor outside. Ever steps over and pats her leg.
Did you sleep out here last night?
Oh, stupid key card wouldn't work.
That's because that's our room.
Sophie eyes the door across the hall.
Oh. That's funny.
Sophie leans against a wall. Later, at a museum, Sophie looks at the drawing.
Ever, you have a secret admirer. What? No, it could just be someone being nice.
People don't draw other people in beautiful, pensive poses unless they're madly in love with them.
Ever looks at Rick.
Okay, whoever did this is totally into you and would die for you.
Hi.
An Asian boy with glasses, Spencer, walks past.
I bet it's Spencer. Wait, no, he can't draw for shit.
Sophie looks around a courtyard.
Ooh, maybe Benji. He goes to RISD. Oh my god, it's totally Benji. Kind of cute.
I think he's allergic to everything.
An Asian boy in a yellow shirt, Benji, uses a nose spray.
I think that's adorable.
Nearby, Xavier stands with his dad, an Asian man in a suit. Xavier's dad, I expect you to stay in line while you're here. Ever and Sophie watch. You're embarrassing our family name.
Japanese or English, you know I can't speak Mandarin. Why do you think you sent me here?
Xavier's dad, in Japanese. As long as I'm paying for your lifestyle, I expect you to behave.
Ava! Track? I mean, Miss... How are you?
Li Hang told me. He saw you running around the campus last night.
Hi, headmistress. Loving the cardigan today. He must be mistaken about my roomie here because we were together all last night, working on Ever's Mandarin. Go ahead, Ever. Show her.
Ever shakes her head at Sophie.
Oh.
Ever. Taro? The dragon eyes Ever. Ever and Sophie smile. The dragon turns and leaves.
Oh, thank you. You know, I'm pretty sure my parents spent their life savings to send me here, so if I got expelled for sneaking out or lying, disappointment wouldn't even begin to describe it. No problem. I mean, what are friends for, right?
Sophie watches Xavier's dad and his team turn and leave. Xavier flips him off with both hands.
Xavier's dad's here. He lives in Taipei. He must have gotten in trouble, too. His family's super loaded. Okay, I heard that his mom is a Danish supermodel, and his dad is half Japanese, half Taiwanese, which is probably why he's here.
How do you know all of this?
Definitely not from the World Journal.
Well, it sounds like somebody has a crush.
Obviously. We had such a moment last night. Did you tell? Like, there were definitely sparks. I would kill just to have the chance to have my heart broken by him.
All right. Maybe tonight we can...
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Tonight? No, no, no. It's so early in the summer.
So?
People don't date the first person they hook up with here. Now, we have to play the slow game. It's called Love Vote for a reason.
Oh, hey.
Hey, is everything all right down there? We
saw... Yeah. It's just my dad. Nothing new. What's going on with you two?
Well, Ever was just wondering why it's called Love Boat.
Oh, you haven't heard the story?
Ever shakes her head.
Well, let me tell you the story of Love Boat. So the program started for college students to learn about Taiwanese culture, right? Well, one year, I think back in the 70s, a big typhoon hit Taipei.
In a fantasy, Xavier and Ever sit on a boat.
Two students got trapped in the storm, and they were trying to get back to Hue. The water was rising fast, but they managed to find a rowboat, and they climbed in.
Cutouts of waves move back and forth.
Taipei got completely flooded. It's actually really bad, but those two stayed safe in a little rowboat. And on that day, in that little rowboat, those two fell in love. So, Love Boat.
In reality, he looks at Ever.
Since then, it's been a little bit less about learning and more about love. I mean, even parents push their kids to come here hoping that they find someone to marry.
Oh my god, that story is so freaking cute. Especially the way that you told it.
It's probably because I made it up.
What?
Ever grins, then shifts her gaze. Rick catches her eye. Later, at a small restaurant, a round-faced Asian man stacks a bamboo steamer of dumplings.
You got Chinese, you got Japanese, you got Spanish, you got Dutch periods of rule, so that when you take one of these dumplings and you put it in your mouth, you got all that history, and it's just...
Rick freezes, then glances at her.
Am I mansplaining right now? I'm sorry.
No. And these little wooden stick things, what are these?
I don't know. Beats me. I'm sorry, I love food, and I get excited when I talk about it.
That's cute. And I mean, yeah, you do know a lot about food. You should, like, run a restaurant or something.
That is literally my dream.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, then why don't you do it?
Cook?
Yes!
I'm sorry, do you want my mother to die out of pure disappointment?
I mean, if it's what you want to do.
Are your parents supportive or something?
You know, actually, yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. As long as I become, you know, some kind of surgeon and win like a Nobel Prize or something, that'd be
practical.
Supportive.
Why not do that?
Round-faced man. Here you go. Careful, it's hot. Rick, thanks.
Ooh, you ready?
Okay. I will take this one.
She eats a dumpling. Her brows draw together.
I know.
Ooh,
and you know what the crazy thing is? You forgot the ginger.
I got some batter?
I'm going to make this one for you.
Okay.
You got to put on the spoon, a little bit of ginger.
That's a lot of good ginger.
He feeds her a dumpling topped with ginger on a spoon. She gives him a look as she chews, then smiles. Outside, slips of paper hang from the branches of a large tree and shift in a breeze. Rick and Ever walk beneath them toward a beach.
Here we are. It's one of my favorite spots.
He regards her as she watches the tide come in.
I can see why.
They walk along the beach with their feet in the low water.
You still have family in Taipei?
Yep, my Aunt Claire.
You know, my dad, he used to be a doctor here in Taipei. When they found out they were pregnant with me, he quit his job and they moved to the U.S. He couldn't afford to go through residency again, so now he works at the pharmacy in the hospital where I intern. Whenever I see him there, I remember how much he gave up for me. So, yeah, I get what you said earlier. Feel selfish to want to do what you want when your family has done all the hard work for you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, my mom wanted me to study finance. My dad wanted me to play football. So as a family, we came together and compromised. And now I'm just doing both. Can we just forget about real life and have fun this summer?
The sunlight reflects against the damp sand as they walk together. On another day, Sophie pulls Ever down a street and over to a clothing store. They go inside. Later, they carry shopping bags. They walk off of one screen and onto another in new clothes. Ever wears a miniskirt and a purple blazer. Sophie wears a two-toned orange blazer with white shorts. They strike poses and take selfies together. Ever grimaces theatrically as Sophie hugs her, then laughs. In a cooking class, Ever and Rick stand next to each other holding dumplings. She tosses flour at him, then works on her dumpling. He tosses flour up at her casually. They both laugh. Outside, Sophie dances with a red fan along with two other girls. In calligraphy class, Ever stares off. The dragon returns her assignment with red marks over her work. Ever glances at Xavier. He holds up his own red-marked calligraphy page now folded into an origami crane. She grins. In Sophie and Ever's room, another drawing of a girl sipping a drink slides under her door. Sophie picks it up. Sophie shows her the drawing. At Auntie Shu's, Ever swipes through photos of her and Rick.
That's a nice smile. Look at the dimple.
This is dimple.
No, I don't want to see you. I want to see him. Keep going. Full body.
Oh. He works out.
At Huey, Ever stands on her balcony and crosses things off her to-do list. She spots Rick practicing with a bow staff on the lawn. He meets her gaze. She takes out a red fan and spreads it in front of her face. She fans herself as he practices with the bow staff. In Auntie Shu's studio, Ever practices her ballet moves. She extends her arms out in a final pose, then relaxes. Later, she sits on a couch and ties the laces of her sneakers. She rises as Auntie Shu steps barefoot over a rolled canvas.
Hey.
Ever, come help me with this.
Ever helps her unroll the large canvas. Auntie Shu takes a mop from a bucket of black paint.
We're mopping?
Mm-mm. You're painting.
Auntie Shu carefully paints on the canvas with the mop.
Your life is so cool.
It has its moments. What is it, child? How was it?
I don't know what I want. Right now in life, it feels like I'm torn between two of everything. Two cultures, two languages, two career paths. I feel like I should try to figure out my life for myself, you know, like you did. You traveled the world and focused on art, and look at where you are. This place is awesome.
It's awesome, yes. But look at your mother. She went to university. She met a nice doctor. She had a nice family. And she moved to the one place where you can build something from nothing.
She didn't follow her dreams.
You know, maybe you were her dream.
Auntie Shu points to a framed photo of her and Ever's mom with Ever as a child.
She looks so happy.
Do you know why I named this place Mengjie?
Ever shakes her head.
It means butterfly, dream. See, there was this old philosopher, and one night he dreamt that he was a butterfly. And when he woke up, he's just a man again. But because that dream, it felt so real, he wondered if he was a man who was dreaming of being a butterfly, or if he was in fact a butterfly who was now dreaming of being a man. Do you understand why I'm telling you this, Ever?
Sometimes we're torn between two dreams.
No. Mengjie reminds me never to take life too seriously. Here's the thing, Ever. You worry so much about the life that you want. You never take the time to appreciate the life that you have.
Auntie Shu offers her the mop.
Your turn.
What? No. Me? No, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah, you're not supposed to. Catch.
She throws the mop to Ever.
Go ahead, take it. Okay, thanks. Don't think. Have fun.
Ever paints.
Oh.
Auntie Shu was right.
Okay, see, there you go.
I just needed to try and enjoy the moment. So for the first time in my life, that's exactly what I did.
At a club, Sophie runs over and grabs Ever as she walks over. Ever dances with the group, including Xavier and Rick. At Auntie Shu's, Ever dances in the studio. She takes small, delicate steps as she moves in a circle and raises her arms up and down. At the club, she raises her arms above her head. She twirls near Xavier. In her room, Ever video chats with her friend Megan, a blonde white woman.
You're literally glowing, and I'm covered in spilled matcha. I hate you, but I love you.
At Auntie Shu's studio, Ever practices ballet. She pirouettes slowly. In the club, Rick twirls her. She beams and laughs as they dance together. He twirls her again, then dips her. In her room, Ever video chats with her parents. She wears a robe.
Ever, you have cello
now? Talk to Mandarin now.
It's getting a lot better.
How many Chinese work in your right, huh?
A lot.
How's school over there?
Yeah, gotta go. Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ever takes off her robe to reveal a sequined mini dress. At the club, Ever dances with Xavier. She spots someone and waves them over. Sophie joins them. Ever leaves Sophie dancing with Xavier. Xavier watches her go, then continues dancing with Sophie. Ever makes her way through the crowd. At Huey, Sophie pushes Xavier against a pillar and kisses him. She pulls back to look at him. They kiss again. At the club, a mirror overhead reflects Xavier, Sophie, and the others as they descend a staircase. On the dance floor, Ever observes Xavier and Sophie dancing. He twirls Sophie. Ever walks over to the bar and grabs Rick. They dance with their faces close together. She puts her arms around his neck. The scene fades to black. At Huey, Rick comes into Sophie and Ever's room. He walks in and spots them asleep on their respective beds. He goes over to Ever's bed.
Nice and shine.
Mm.
You want some caffeine? Mm. Yeah. Mm. Lots of cream, lots of sugar. Mm.
She sits up and takes a mug from him.
Oh, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, that'll happen when you go out every night of the week.
How did you even get in here?
Your door was open. Not unlocked, just open.
Mm.
Yeah, lucky no creeps got in here.
I wouldn't be so sure.
All right, let's get up. Come on, let's go for a hike. Earthquake!
Oh, no.
Sophie covers her face with a pillow. Outside.
Oh my god, the mosquitoes here.
Oh my god, wait, don't step on
me. Ever walks behind Xavier. He glances back. Ever looks around the surrounding forest.
You look like you're dying.
You know, I'm not gonna make it. Just go on without me. Please. Please.
So if I promise, the view from the top is so much better.
But I'm already enjoying this view.
Sophie makes a frame around Xavier with her fingers.
No, seriously. I'll catch up in 2 seconds. You two cuties, go. Go on without me.
You sure?
Yeah. Please.
Ever jogs over to Xavier on a staircase.
Whew. So, how's it going with you two?
Sophie? We're cool. She's cool. I like her. Yeah. What about you and Wonder Boy?
Rick? We're good.
So how's dance going? Have you seen your audition?
I think we're gonna record it tomorrow. Yeah, I kind of put it off to the last minute because, you know.
I don't know. Tell me.
I've worked really hard to be good enough, but what if I'm not?
Well, what if you are?
They share a long look. Ever continues walking. Ahead, Rick walks up a staircase. Ever hurries over to him.
Hey! Hey! Is everything okay?
Sorry, I'm just kind of in my head, I guess.
What's wrong?
My Aunt Claire is having a party tomorrow night, and she is strongly encouraging that Sophie and I show up, put on our clean faces, and make her look good in front of her high society friends.
I take it you don't want to go?
My family is just still really bitter that I broke up with Jenna, and if you can imagine, they like her better than they like me.
Can I ask you something? Why did you end things?
We just had absolutely nothing in common.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get that. It's important.
Hey. Come with me to the party.
You're asking me to go to a party where your family's gonna be there wishing I was your ex-girlfriend the whole time.
Did I mention that there would be free food and drinks? And I'll be there, you know.
Okay, I'll think about it.
Ever walks up a stone staircase. He goes after her.
Come on, really?
He races her up the steps. They walk down another staircase toward an area overlooking the city. They lean against a railing. A tall skyscraper stands above the rest of the buildings in the city. He regards Ever as she looks out at the view. She turns and grins at him. He leans toward her. They kiss. Sophie leads Xavier and the others down the staircase.
Hey, guys!
Rick and Ever part.
I finally made it.
Xavier waves. The rest of the group joins them and lines up against the railing to look out over the city. An emergency alert notification on someone's phone reads, Typhoon/flash flood warning, Taipei and northern Taiwan tonight. At Auntie Shu's studio, Ever puts on a pair of ballet shoes. She wears a black leotard over pale tights. Auntie Shu comes over.
Ever, I have a surprise for you.
She gives Ever a gift. Ever starts to open it.
I figure since you're going to a fancy event with this boy who... You say it's just a friend who's a boy, it's not your boyfriend. You might like this.
Ever opens a box to reveal a light blue embroidered dress.
Oh my god. Really?
Yeah!
Thank you, Auntie Shu. It's beautiful.
You're welcome. Hey, everyone's taking off. Can you lock up when you leave?
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, the typhoon's not supposed to hit the city, but be sure to shut the windows.
Okay, of course.
Ever regards her dress.
Good luck with the dance. And remember, Meng Die.
Ever grins as Auntie Shu leaves. She folds the dress. Ever balances her phone on an easel.
After everything I had experienced this summer, I was finally ready for my audition. But what I wasn't expecting was how truly good it felt to just be me.
Ever stands with one foot facing outwards. She moves her arms gracefully, then turns her head. She steps forward and turns her body slowly, then moves with tiny steps. She continues her performance. She turns with her arms outstretched. She hops, switching the position of her feet. She gracefully waves her arms overhead. She swings her leg out in front of her. Ever ends in a pose with her arms extended. Afterwards, Ever goes over to her phone on the easel and stops a recording. She picks up her phone as she gets a text from Sophie. It reads, "Where are you? We're at the party. Get here ASAP."
Shit.
She runs over to her things by the couch and puts on a pair of blue and white sweatpants. She takes off her ballet flats. Ever hurries out of Auntie Shu's house. A set of windows stand open as wind blows against plants outside. Lights shine on the various levels of an enormous building. Inside, Ever walks down a red staircase in her light blue dress and a pair of flats. She walks toward the center of a landing, then stops and looks down another set of stairs. Below, people in formal wear mingle and dance. Ever goes downstairs. Various groups of men and women turn to look at her as she passes. She glances around as she moves through the crowd. Xavier stands with Sophie. Ever continues past them. Rick stands by a table of drinks. He wears a rust-colored suit and keeps his hands in his pockets. He spots Ever as she approaches. She catches his eye.
I'll see you later. Okay. Okay. See you. Oh my God, you look absolutely perfect. Wow.
She hugs him.
I'm sorry I'm so late.
Oh, that's okay. Let's grab you something to drink. Yeah. Cheers.
They both drink from flutes of champagne.
I can't believe how amazing this party is.
That is my Aunt Claire for you. She throws this party every year, and no storm's gonna stop her. How about I introduce you?
Okay.
She threads her arm through his. They approach a chic Asian woman, Aunt Claire, and an Asian man in a dark blue tuxedo.
Aunt Claire.
Hi, hello.
See you. This is Ever, my date.
Hello, dear. Are you enjoying the party?
Oh, absolutely. It's really lovely.
So, how did you meet Frederick?
Oh, Rick? Yeah. I feel like I've known him my whole life, thanks to the World Journal.
Oh, so you're a fan of his.
Oh, God, no. You know, to be honest with you, I've always really sort of hated him.
We met at Huey. Ever is learning calligraphy.
Trying to.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Jenna, you came.
Jenna?
Jenna, like your ex?
Welcome.
What is she doing here?
She was in Taipei, and so we decided to invite her to the party.
I can see that.
Rick, hi.
Hey, come here.
Rick hugs a tall Asian woman, Jenna.
Yeah, it's It's really good to see you.
You too. You look great.
Thank you. You too. This is Ever.
Jenna, hi.
Hi. I love your dress.
Thank you.
We were so sorry to hear about you two splitting up.
Aunt Claire, Frederick's mother, said it seemed like everything was going so well, and then out of nowhere. Jenna, you sound just like my parents. They were devastated when I told them I'm no longer dating Mr. World Journal. Rick, my mother still hasn't forgiven me. Uncle David.
Jenna.
So is Harvard Law. Jenna, really good. I'm very happy. Uncle David, great. Ever looks down.
Ever is graduating soon, too, and she's going to be studying medicine at Case Western Reserve. And her father is a very successful doctor in the States. Internal medicine, right?
Was a doctor. Yeah, when we moved to America, he had to give up his practice, and he works in a pharmacy now. But I'm currently in the process of auditioning for a dance company.
Dance? How lovely. We must mingle, Jenna?
Aunt Claire, join me so we can catch up.
Oh, Frederick.
Yep.
Let's chat later.
Okay.
Nice to meet you.
Ever.
Yes.
Hey.
Ever eyes Rick, then walks away. She goes over to a railing.
Ever.
What was that?
I didn't know she was going to be here.
No, I'm not talking about her. I mean like my dad and med school.
I'm sorry, okay? It's just I'm really, really nervous. I mean, you could see it. My family is complicated, and I just needed, like, some kind of buffer.
Is that why I'm here? I'm a buffer?
No. It's just... I just don't want to give him anything else to criticize me about.
Like my dad working in a pharmacy?
Oh, my God. Such a shit show.
Sophie joins them.
Bringing Xavier? Huge mistake. He just told Uncle Michael he wants to travel around and live in a van for a year. Why would he say something like that?
Because it's the truth.
I swear, it's like he gets off on making a fool of himself. We're done. I'm so over it.
Where are you going?
Suddenly I'm not in the party mood. Here, you can finish that.
Ever hands Rick her drink and leaves. Nearby, Xavier watches her go as he chews something. Outside, Ever climbs a staircase to a pedestrian bridge with her arms crossed. She reaches the top and walks forward with a furrowed brow. Her dark eyes shine in the low light. Behind her, Xavier hurries up the stairs.
Ever.
What are you doing here?
I saw you leave the party early. You're kind of intense, huh?
Yeah. Rick was making me out to be someone that I'm not.
Yeah, I hear you. Sophie was parading me around. Gushing about my father's business, talking about how close him and I are, which is complete bullshit. Father avoids me because I don't follow his rules and be whoever he wants me to be. I guess we both got used to that.
I feel so stupid in this dress right now.
For what it's worth, I think you look great.
Ever stops walking and turns to look at him. She smiles slightly, then continues forward. He touches her arm.
And if you want to talk about stupid, what about me trying out your dance moves?
Xavier pirouettes clumsily. He does a small jump.
It's not bad. Actually, it's more of a...
She spins expertly and extends her arms out with a graceful movement. She looks back at him.
Okay. I'm coming. There it is.
He pirouettes over.
Yeah.
She twirls at him. He grabs her as she gets close.
Whoa.
They share a long look. Rain falls around them. Ever blinks quickly and looks up.
I will stay when you get off the train.
It's raining.
You're safe as a mountain.
Yeah, it is.
We should go. Come on.
She runs across the bridge to another set of stairs. He follows her. On the street below, he holds his green blazer over their heads as they hurry through the rain. Ever squints as they run. They take cover in a covered alleyway.
Oh man, it is really coming down.
I might have to wait it out a little while.
She holds her arms crossed as she looks out at the rain.
Oh, here.
He puts his blazer around her shoulders.
Thanks.
She pushes up his black sleeve to reveal a tattoo of a squiggly line over a straight line.
What's this?
It reminds me to follow my own path.
I like it.
Here, give me your arm.
Xavier holds Ever's wrist out and uncaps a pen with his mouth. He holds the cap with his teeth. She glances at him as he draws on her inner forearm. He glances back at her. He finishes drawing and releases her arm. She regards it.
I didn't know you were an artist.
We're both full of surprises.
The drawing depicts Ever dancing with a symbol identical to one on the drawing slipped under her door.
Hey. Those sketches. They're from you?
He nods slightly. She looks down, then back at him. She tilts her head. Xavier kisses her. She puts her hand near the side of his face as she kisses him back. She pulls away. She hesitates as though about to say something, then shakes her head.
Sorry.
She runs off with his blazer. At Huey, rain pours as a strong wind gusts. Ever runs over to the building while holding Xavier's blazer over her head. She slows as she gets under a covered area and lowers it. Lightning flashes. Inside, students sit and stand in a lounge area. Small lights glow on various tables. Ever walks down a hallway and steps inside. She approaches the dragon.
Ever, are you okay?
Yeah, the typhoon hit the city hard. There's no power, so we are gathering here.
Okay.
Ever puts Xavier's blazer on the back of a chair. She leaves it as she walks around and surveys the room. She stops as she spots Rick standing with a group of people. She steps forward slowly, then walks over to him. He puts his arms around her.
I was so worried when we got back and you weren't here.
I made it back. I'm fine.
Can we?
She nods.
Yeah. Listen, I am so sorry about how I treated you in front of my family. How I acted has nothing to do with you. Okay? I care about you so much.
Ever glances away. Rick notices Xavier come in. Ever follows Rick's gaze. Xavier watches them, then turns to look where Sophie sits on a couch. Xavier glances back at Rick and Ever as he walks over to Sophie. Ever eyes Rick.
What's going on?
It's the typhoon. It's bad.
city's flooding. Parents are worried, and they want us to leave as soon as the storm passes. They want me and Sophie out of Taipei.
You're leaving?
I'm sorry. I wish things could be different. I wish tonight was different.
Me too.
Because when I'm with you, I am more me than I've ever been.
Ever's dark eyes shine. She looks down and nods. Rick's lips part. Her face crumples slightly. They embrace. In the morning, students sleep strewn around the lounge. Ever sleeps with her head against a yellow pillow. She opens her eyes and looks around, then sits up. She pulls off a yellow blanket, then puts her yellow checkered tote bag on her shoulder. She picks up her phone. A low battery symbol appears on the black screen. She rises. Ever enters her room. She walks over to her bed and sits. Ever's light blue dress hangs over a chair across from her. She eyes it.
Oh my God.
She hurries to the door. Outside, Ever strides across the pedestrian bridge. Elsewhere, men in safety vests pick up fallen plant debris off the ground. Ever walks past a woman in a safety vest piling trash. At Auntie Shu's, the Meng Die sign sits on the ground. Ever pushes a banner aside.
No.
Ever steps past the fallen sign and enters Auntie Shu's house. She slows as she spots objects lying strewn across the damp floor.
Auntie Shu?
A lamp and stool lie toppled. The painting of the girl in red lies on the floor near another fallen light. Ever looks around.
Auntie Shu!
She steps further into the debris-strewn room. Her eyes travel over the damage.
Ever!
Oh, I'm so glad you're okay. We tried calling you all night. Your parents were worried sick.
They hug, then part.
Auntie Shu, you're your gallery. Everything is ruined.
I know.
I'm so sorry. I left the windows open. I was in such a hurry to get out.
It's gonna be
I forgot.
It'll be all right.
Auntie Shu takes out her phone.
You need to talk to your mother.
Come on.
She's worried.
Hello?
Hello?
Papa, it's Ever! Ever!
Ever!
Your father and I are watching
okay?
The news. Are you safe?
I'm fine, but Auntie Shu...
Do you have any idea how many people we have called?
And you never told us you've been visiting Auntie Shu.
Sorry.
And that you're dancing?
She told you?
She didn't tell us anything. We got a call from some
man and he was talking about a...
This is a...
Dancing audition.
A dance
audition. He couldn't reach you.
What did he say?
Well, aren't you telling us?
Stop, Mom. Just tell me what he said.
He said you should try again next year.
Ever closes her eyes. Her chin quivers.
That's it?
What is this all about?
It's nothing. Don't be worried about me, okay? I'm okay. Okay. Bye.
Ever takes the phone from her ear as her lips tremble. Thank you. typhoon had come, and all it brought was chaos in every way.
At Hue at night, a text from Ever to Sophie reads, "How are you guys doing?" Sophie responds, "We arrived safely. How are you?" Ever texts, "Miss you already. Everything is falling apart here." Sophie sends back a red heart. During the day, students pick up debris around the school's campus. Ever picks up various objects with a long pair of tongs and puts them in a trash bag. She puts the bag down and bends to pick up a fallen planter. Xavier comes over and helps her right it.
How are you holding up?
You know, I'm doing all right.
Storm really did a number on this place. I hope they don't still expect us to put on that festival.
I heard it was canceled.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry about the other night.
Yeah, me too. I just really like hanging out with you.
Same. I really screwed things up. My parents, my aunt's gallery. I even got rejected from that dance company.
That sucks, Ever. I'm sorry.
Actually, kind of relieved. I think I was trying so hard to make it work in dance because I thought, you know, if I could just do that, I'd convince my parents that I can be whatever I want instead of what they expect me to be.
I get that.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I stopped trying to become someone else a long time ago.
I really messed things up.
Well, being a guy who screws up a lot, it's never too late to make things right.
Ever's expression warms as she regards him. He smiles and looks down. At Auntie Shu's, Auntie Shu and others clean her space.
Auntie Shu.
Auntie Shu approaches Ever.
This place looks like it could use some help.
Ever turns to the door. Xavier waves as he leads in their friends. They gather behind Ever.
I have an idea.
Auntie Shu eyes them. Ever and the others help clean Auntie Shu's space. Ever shares a look with Xavier as she sweeps water into a dustpan, then dumps it in a bucket. Outside, Ever and another boy lean the Meng Die sign against a low structure. Xavier lets down one side of a red banner. Auntie Shu sweeps fallen leaves nearby. Ever helps rehang the Meng Die sign. Ever nods. At Hue, Ever lies on her stomach on a blanket out on the lawn. She works on her calligraphy. Sophie's two friends, a straight-haired Asian girl and a brunette Asian girl, practice with red fans. Ever observes them. In Auntie Shu's studio, Ever practices a routine with the red fan. Xavier watches from the top of a red staircase as she moves her arms rhythmically. She waves her fan at him.
How was that?
Like an 8 out of 10. It's good. It's good.
8!
He nods. At the market, Ever gives a flyer to the ponytail woman. The ponytail woman regards it. Ever eats dumplings from a bamboo steamer. She gives another flyer to a stocky Asian man. At Hue, she gives a flyer to the dragon. On the flyer, English writing under Chinese characters reads, "Love Boat Street Festival. Culture, performance, food, music." In her room, Ever texts with Xavier. A text from Ever to Xavier reads, "This might actually work. Fingers crossed emoji." He responds, "Sweet. I've been working on a little something for the festival." Ever looks up from her phone. At Auntie Shu's, David sets up a table with DJ equipment. Spencer picks up a decoration of strung together origami butterflies. The girl with straight hair and the brunette girl come in carrying things. Ever moves a modern chair. Auntie Shu wears a loose, light blue dress. She steps back and points at something. Ever and Xavier put away art supplies. Behind them, Auntie Shu holds a phone to her ear.
Later, Xavier unveils a version of Auntie Shu's painting of the woman in red.
Wow.
Yellowish lines come from the top and bottom and overlap the woman.
I guess you could call it a remix. With your Auntie Shu's permission, of course.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
They hug. In the day, outside Mengjie.
They say the air is clearest after a rain. And as we finished preparing our own Love Boat Festival, I started to feel that way about my life too. And the irony was my realization that not everything needed to be clear. The key was having the courage to leap into the unknown.
Inside, a sculpture of a bald Asian man holding a pan and ladle sits on a plinth. A sculpture of a figure painted with black lines holds a smaller yellow figure. Various artworks sit on easels throughout Auntie Shu's space. Xavier's painting hangs on a wall. Auntie Shu walks over to Ever.
I can't believe you pulled it off.
Don't jinx it. I haven't pulled it off yet.
Either way, you made the festival happen.
Come on.
I have a surprise for you.
Auntie Shu leads her over to a red curtain, then pulls it aside to reveal Ever's parents sitting on a couch.
Mom! Dad!
Ever.
Her mom hugs her.
It's wonderful to see you, Ever.
What are you doing here?
We heard what you're up to, and your Auntie Sue said we should come see for ourselves.
What I've been up to?
Auntie Shu closes the red curtain.
Can we talk for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
Ever sits across from her parents.
I'm really glad that the both of you are here. There's something that I've been meaning to tell you. I haven't been completely honest with you. I don't want to go to med school.
You don't? But you're applying for all the programs.
I only did that because I thought that's what you wanted. I auditioned to the dance company without telling you because I was afraid that you would disapprove. But I mean, being here with these people, it's made me realize that I'm still figuring out what I want.
Her mom and dad exchange a look. Her mom takes her hand off her dad's arm. Outside, people mingle by two food stands. People in yellow shirts carry a twirling ball and dragon on poles overhead. They go into Mengjie and perform for a crowd.
As we made our way onto the stage, I didn't care about a dance company or med school. I cared about helping Auntie Shu and the artist whose work was damaged by the storm.
We'd like to welcome you to the first official Love Boat Festival. And the person who put this all together, Ever Wong.
Ever comes over wearing her butterfly clip.
This performance is a love letter to a place that I never knew before 8 weeks ago. Now, it's part of me. It's called
Ever, Butterfly Dream. Behind her, two people part curtains to reveal windows. Two people fight with bow staffs.
I cared about everyone from Love Boat getting to celebrate the culture and the history we spent the entire summer immersing ourselves in.
David presses a button. Ever holds up a fan.
I cared about my parents getting to see me feeling more alive than I ever had in my life.
Ever performs a dance with the fan. Sophie makes her way through the crowd. Ever spins. Her long red dress twirls around her legs. Rick steps toward the front in the crowd. More students join Ever with fans.
It was then that everything in the universe finally came together. No more rules, no more expectations, no more fears. It was just all of us in this one moment.
Ever's mother smiles as she watches Ever perform. Ever jumps and poses. Ever's mom touches the corner of her eye, then laughs with Auntie Shu. Auntie Shu leans her head against her sister's. Ever spots Rick in the crowd. She looks back at Xavier applauding. She grins, then grabs another performer's hand and hurries off. Outside, people mingle under a banner that reads, Love Boat Festival. Inside, paper umbrellas hang upside down from the ceiling.
Ever watches people in the gallery from between two red curtains.
So this is what you've been up to.
Sophie, I can't believe you came.
They hug.
Obviously, I wouldn't miss it. Oh, and this is Jeremy. We met at a typhoon beach cleanup. He's in a band. My family's furious, but whatever. They haven't had four songs written about them.
Five, actually. The new one just sort of came to me.
Hello, it's nice to meet you, Jeremy.
Yeah, cool dance thingy. I second that. It was a very cool dance thingy.
Ever's jaw drops slightly. She glances at Sophie.
We'll catch you later. Okay. Come on, Jer. I want to hear the new song.
Sophie and a tall Asian man, Jeremy, leave.
They're cute. I give it a week.
No, full album at least.
Ever, what you're doing here is really amazing. Congrats. You should be proud.
Thank you. And thank you for showing up. It really does mean a lot.
Are you kidding me? I had to see Girl Wonder in action.
Well, you know, I look forward to seeing Boy Wonder in this year's edition of the World Journal.
Actually, I was hoping not to be Boy Wonder in the World Journal this year.
Rick hugs Ever. They part.
Don't be a stranger.
Oh, no, don't worry, I won't. My mama made me keep your contact for networking purposes, so.
Okay, don't act like you didn't already add me to your favorites.
Shut up.
She shakes her head as he walks away. He looks back at her, then leaves. Ever lifts her gaze and glances around. She goes into the gallery and nods to various people as she moves across the room. Outside, Ever spots Auntie Shu standing with her parents. Auntie Shu grins at her. Ever turns and does a graceful pirouette.
One dance number wasn't enough?
Hi.
Xavier leans against a wall and watches her. He comes over.
I just can't believe you'd do that.
What?
Dance without me.
He smiles and offers her his hand. She takes it. They slow dance.
So, what now? Forever, ever?
She stops moving and stares up at him. Ever gives Xavier a light kiss on the lips. They regard one another.
I haven't really thought much beyond that point.
I think it's off to a great start.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's actually kind of nice not having it all figured out.
Yeah, leaves room for surprises.
He twirls her, then pulls her gently back towards him. In slow motion, Ever and Xavier kiss again. Take me to the moon. They pull back and share a warm look. They continue to dance beneath paper lanterns and string lights.
Darling, why'd you have to go so soon? No, I won't have anyone to share the view with.
Audio description provided by International Digital Center. Written by Betty Capoe. Voiced by Sri Gordon. Credits. Directed by Arvin Chen. Screenplay by Charlie O. and Mackenzie Dorr. Based on the book by Abigail Hing Wen. Produced by Matt Kaplan. Executive producers Christopher Foss, Matthew Janzen, Max Seemers, Aubrey Bendix, Cheng Chung Chang, Abigail Hing Wen, Ross Butler. Co-producers Angie Haney, Jesse Hood, Peter Bien. Line producer, Matthias Mellinghaus. Director of photography, Jake Pollock. Production designer, Jennifer Morden. Edited by, Michelle Harrison. Costume designer, Stephanie Chang. Casting by, John McGillary, CSA. Music by, Roger Suet. Music supervisors, Lindsay Wolfington, Laura Webb. Ross Butler, Ashley Liao, Nico Hiraga, Chelsea Zhang, and Cindy Chung. The title appears, Love in Taipei. Credits continue. But it all stays put. No, I won't. I'll wait another. Copyright 2023 Lionsgate Films, Inc. and Vicarious Entertainment, LLC. All rights reserved. Logos, ACE. Lionsgate. Paramount. Paramount Plus.